one of those type of people that I don't mind being locked in the house if it's raining like that. Like, I can just go find a quiet corner and I can just go chill. And it's all right. I can even leave you there for a week. You can even leave you there for two or three. But Nicole is not like that at all. She needs to get out. So when every morning when I open the curtains, I'm like, oh, it's still raining. And she's like, oh, no, what are we got to do something. I'm like, no. We don't. We can just chill. And she's like, no, not another movie day, you know? So that was a challenge, you know, keeping the family balanced amidst all the rain and all. But it was wonderful. It was good family time. And I pray that all of you have had the same, you know, just that connection and family time. But over those holidays, we got a pair of ducks. And I thought I'd share the story with the serving team this morning, but I thought this is a good story to share this morning. And these two ducks, Daphne and is it Goldie?
Blondie.
Sorry, I'm
just not allowed to forget that. Yeah. Come on.
So Blondie and Daphne, and they're chilling there in the back of the yard with our chickens. And they didn't have a pond. They had like a water bowl, biggish enough, and they got in it and tried to swim in it. And we thought, oh, we should get them something bigger. You know, they're all longing for a proper pond. And we fonded our ducks, so we wanted to give, you know, we want to have the best for them. So we got this big pond, and we put it down at the back, but it's one of those little, as you fill it up, it folds up, and the weight of the water actually keeps it folded open. So it's quite high, the sides are high, so the ducks cannot get into this little pond by themselves. So I had to build them a ramp, right? So I built them a little ramp on the side of this pond, and I'm like, okay, this is what they're going to use to get in, but they didn't get in. They just looked at that ramp like, we don't know about this, right? So, okay, so this morning I'm sitting outside, ducks are not in their pond, and I'm like, okay, I have to show them. Like, that's probably the only way to teach these ducks. This is what you use to get into the pond. But I have to trap them in a corner, you know? Go trap them in a corner, and then once I get close enough, I can snatch a duck, and I can take it to the little ramp, and then I put it down at the bottom of the ramp. I don't just chuck it in the water. That would be senseless because I'm trying to teach the duck to use the ramp. So I put little Daphne right at the bottom, and then I let her go, and she kind of waddles up this ramp and at the top, and she's like, oh, wow. And she drops in the pond, and she starts bathing and diving, and wow, she loves it. She's like, this is amazing. So I was sitting there on the couch looking at these ducks in the water, and I was like, this is really cool. And the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me. He says, much like you will with these ducks. I said, how's that, Lord? He says, I have got something better for you. And I know what's better for you, but you can't see it. He says, and then I kind of, you don't want to come to me and let me move you. You don't want to be moved. You want to stay where you are. You want to stay in your comfort place. You want to stay in the place you know. You don't want to be moved. So I kind of got to corner you in. Who's feeling that the wall sometimes closes in on them? And he says, now I've got to corner you in, and you don't want to be catched. You don't want to be moved. And I've got to corner you in, and there's stress, a bit of stress involved in that. And then I've got to pick you up. And then you're complaining about being picked up, just like this little Daphne. She doesn't like being picked up, but she gives you a nibble, you know, like, let me go. And he says, sometimes you are stubborn like that as well. But I carry on and I persevere because I know what is good for you. I know that I have something spectacular in store for you. He says, and then I move you and I put you at the bottom of a ramp. And you're like, what's this all about, Lord? Now I have to go uphill? Yes. But once you get to the top of the hill, you will see what I have in store for you. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in the space of life where you feel the walls are closing in, you know, like, hey, these walls are getting a bit closer. Be confident in the fact that God wants to move you. Maybe instead of squirming and trying to get away, you should sit down and get into a space of listening.
Yeah, come on.
Saying, Lord, where is it that you want to move me this year? Where do you want to reposition me? And how is it that I can get there? How can I facilitate this process instead of Daphne trying to get out of it, right? Because even if she did get away and I didn't manage to trap her, I'm going to herd her into another corner.
Yeah, come on.
And that's exactly what happens to us.
Yeah.
Because God knows what is best for us, and he wants to move us to the places where we are going to have the best time, best growth, best connection with God, right? This is what it's all about. And it's funny that you cannot see it. Sometimes you just cannot see that pond. Sometimes you cannot just see where God is taking you. And that's okay. Trust in him and follow the way and know that he's not going to lead you astray.
Yes, amen.
He is going to take you to better places.
Yep.
Amen. Is that a good encouragement?
Amen.
I said, thank you, Lord, this morning for that. Jesus is our Savior, and this is the common denominator in the room. This is why we are all here, is because Jesus is our Savior, because we are washed by His blood. So I just wanted to talk about this, about Jesus being our Savior this morning. He's born of a virgin, leaving His glory above, willfully so, to come down to us so that He can show us the way. Nailed to the cross so our debt can be paid. Oh, the precious blood of the Lamb. Is it precious for you? Do you ponder on how precious it is? Do you ponder on what Jesus has done for you? Because that blood flowed for you and it flowed for me. It covered a multitude of sins. It covered the sins in your life, everything that has passed, and everything that is to come.
Yeah.
Because we are all human and mistakes are going to come. And we might slip and fall. And He has even died for that, future transgressions that might come. Oh, this blood washed us whiter than snow. All so that I can exchange my shame for a crown. All so that you can take any shame that you might have and exchange it for a crown. Maybe there's some stuff in your life that you're still feeling shameful of. That you're still being like, oh, you know, this is not ideal. And maybe you're feeling guilty about that. God says, I don't want you to live in that space of shame. I want you to exchange that. Give it to me. I want to give you a crown in return.
Very good.
There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There is power, a lot of power, wonder-working power in that psalm. And I want you to remind you of that power. I want you to remind you of what God has done for you. So let's be thankful for what God has done. Let us meditate on this, and not only this morning, but for the weeks to come, that God has really, 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 really saved us.
Yes.
He has really done this great work in us.
Yes.
In Romans 8, verse 14 to 17, we read, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear, but rather the Spirit you receive brought about you an adoption. So you've been adopted, grafted into the family of Christ. Sonship, the Bible calls it. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Because it's the Spirit Himself that testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So co-heirs of Christ sitting here this morning, saved by His precious blood. I carry on in verse 33 and 34 in Romans 8. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Now I'm speaking to someone holding on to that. Maybe there's something in your life that you're still feeling shameful of. Who will bring any charge against God's elect, His chosen ones? It is God who justifies us. It's God that declares us blameless, and it's God that puts us in right standing with Himself. Who is there then to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and He already paid the penalty. And more than that, who was raised from the dead, and who is at the right hand of God, interceding for you right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So Jesus is at the right hand of God, praying for you, because you've accepted Him into your heart. He has washed you, even though there's some stuff that you might be hanging on. He's saying, hey, I want to exchange that for a crown. I don't want
yes.
you to live in shame.
Yes, amen.
Why am I telling you all this morning? I want to remind you, and I want to remind you who you are in Christ.
Yes.
So who are you this morning? You are redeemed.
Amen.
You are heirs with Christ. You are heirs. You are washed by the blood, whiter than snow. You are loved by God. You are interceded for. Jesus intercedes for you. You have an advocate, an intercessor at the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. And you are filled with the power of God. That's who you are. Yes, amen.
Very good.
And you got to meditate on that. You got to remind yourself of that. And when devil comes with a shame and he reminds you about the stuff that you're not doing wrong, or maybe you are talking to yourself, you have unhealthy self-talk, and you're putting yourself down, then the Holy Spirit says, hey, there's an intercessor for you in heaven. You are saved.
Yeah,
you are washed.
Yeah,
come on. You are a co-heir of Christ.
You,
come on, put yourself up. I'm not saying any of these bad things about you.
Come on.
What I am saying is that you are my co-heir.
Yes.
That you are washed, that you are clean,
yes.
That you have power.
Yes.
Come on, and lean into that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And because of who you are, you can have joy and you can have peace. And you can have favor with God because of
yes.
who you are.
Yes, amen.
It's an outflowing. Because I'm this, automatically I'm entitled to. Being a co-heir of Christ means that you can have all these things. Because of who you are and because of who you know now, Jesus, there is a plan for you.
Yes.
That God will establish you. In Proverbs 16:9, it talks about establishing your steps. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the man makes their own plans, but it's only God who establishes you.
Yeah.
We plan things and our plan don't always work out, and sometimes they go sideways.
Yeah,
it's because you can make as many and much plans as you want, but it's God who will eventually establish your steps and say, this is where I want you.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
That's good. Exactly how it works.
Before I snatched Daphne to put her on that little ramp, she was not planning to be there. She had other plans. She was grazing about and she was pretty happy where she was. But I knew I had a better place for Daphne. I knew I had this beautiful pond that she was going to absolutely love and thrive in.
Yeah.
But I had to get her there. I had to move her. I had to snatch her up.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come on.
Keep going.
Because of who you are, you will be guided where you need to go. And you know that God will listen when you pray and when you speak. Isn't that amazing? There's power. In Romans 10, verse 8 to 11, we read. But what does the word say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of God. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Because you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You recognize his power and authority and his majesty as God. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. That's it. Full stop. Isn't that cool? Hey.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's not difficult this morning. If you're convinced or you have convinced yourself in the past that this is a difficult thing to do, this walking close to God, this prayer thing, this thing that the pastor does, it's not difficult at all. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, come on.
Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you recognize his authority and power and majesty as God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yeah.
For with the heart, a person believes in Christ as his Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, in him being made righteous, being freed from the guilt of sin. That's something a lot of people don't let go of, their guilt and shame. But the Bible says that you're being freed of your guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, you acknowledge and confess your faith openly.
Yeah.
And that's why we have baptisms.
Yes.
Hey, wasn't that baptisms last year amazing? We had those people that openly confessed. Everybody in the public say, hey, I serve the Lord.
So good.
I have chosen Jesus as my Savior.
Come on.
And with his mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting and confirming his salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to and trusts in him, will not be disappointed in his expectations. Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
Verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes, amen.
So if you feel that you're in that space and you need a bit of saving, call on the name of the Lord this year.
Yeah.
Remind yourself of who you are. Maybe you should put up a list. Maybe a print out a point at all these points. Print them out. Catch this message on the podcast. Go and listen to it again and say, remind yourself in the morning of who you are in Christ, who you are in God. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves because we forget we are only human. And when life happens, it gets us down.
Yeah.
But then we have to get back to remembrance of who we are in Christ and fight the good fight. So my challenge to you for this week, in fact, for this year, I'd say rather, let the word of God be near you at all times.
Yeah.
That is key.
Yes.
And I've heard that a lot of people have signed up for GAYCBS Bible study, which I'm very pleased of, because that's studying the Word of God on a weekly basis, getting yourself near to the Word of God.
Yeah, come on.
So let the Word of God be near you at all times.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, you've got to get into it. You've got to read your Bible every day.
Come on,
you cannot be dependent on me to do the interpretation on a Sunday and give you this inspiring message that might get you through to Wednesday. No. On Monday, you've got to carry on from what you received in church, and you've got to say, okay, well, it's put me on track in Romans. I'm going to finish the rest of Romans, and I'm going to get into it and see what God has for me.
Yes.
Maybe at the beginning it's all gibberish, but the more you get into it, you're going to see the Holy Spirit is going to break it open. All you need to do is you're going to be praying about it before you start reading your Bible. You're going to say, Lord, I don't understand all of it, but I need you to open it up for me. And what happens as soon as you start reading and you pray, God, open it up for me, it's like milk and honey that gets flowing out of a coconut. It's like the Holy Spirit just, and he opens that coconut for you, and it just fills out, and you're like, oh wow, this is good, and you can't stop. And it's not soon before you get absolutely addicted to the saving power of the Word of God. That's the only way that we can get to know Him, to form that relationship with God that everybody speaks about. Everywhere you go, people talk about the relationship of God with God, and how do we get access to that, how do we get to that? You start with the Word of God. So I want to challenge you that let the Word of God be on your lips. That's all here.
Come on.
And if you need to correct yourself, if something slips out and it does not align with the Word of God, because sometimes things slip out and it doesn't align with what God says in His Word, and it doesn't align with the way that we are supposed to be conducting or living ourselves as children of God, correct it right there on the spot.
You will soon
learn, and you will not do it again.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're spewing some negativity because life's not treating you bad, or maybe God is backing you into a corner in order to move you for your own well-being, but maybe you feel backed into a corner and some negativity is being spewed, correct it right there and then to that person and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm just being negative, and I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Forgive me for that, but I can turn this around and say God is in control, and I know that everything will work out for the best of those who love Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah,
correct
amen.
It right there and then on the spot.
Yeah.
Let the Word of God fall off your lips.
Yeah,
Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I have plans for you for a hope. I have a hope for you. I have plans for a future. Not to harm you, but to prosper you.
Yes.
That's the Word of God. So if you're not feeling that in your life, start confessing that. And say, well, I'm going to let that be on my lips. I'm not going to let negativity be on my lips. I love it that when people are negative, they justify it by saying, I'm just stating the facts. Well, when you state the Scripture of God, you are stating heavenly facts.
Amen.
When you're stating negative emotion, you're letting it flow, you are stating earthly facts.
Very
and how
right.
many of us know that the Word of God says that the Spirit is much more real than
Amen.
What we have here in prison? And
on,
in the prison and on earth, right? Isn't that great? So the Bible says, hey, that's much more real.
Yeah.
So gather up and store up your treasures in heaven, because it's worth much more than whatever you can gather up here on earth. It's for the same reason the Bible says don't fill up your storehouses.
Yes.
Don't fill up your bank accounts to the max. Don't buy as much as you can and put it in where moth and rot can get to it and mold can destroy it. God says, but store up your treasures in heaven. How do you do that? By having the Word of God every day on your mouth. By diving into the Word of God. And soon before you know it, you're going to be spreading the gospel and doing things that you thought you were not capable of. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
But it all starts with the Word of God.
And
I'm preaching to myself this morning. There's somebody encouraged in the house.
Amen. Come on.
Let the Word of God fill your mind.
Yes.
That's number three, right? So I had, let the Word of God be near you at all times. So take your Bible with you. Download the app on your phone. I have a lot of waiting time in my job. I sit at client sites, client premises, and I have waiting time. I just wait until it's my turn to do my thing. I get the Word of God out. I keep it near me. Second one, let the Word of God be on your lips. Third one, let the Word of God fill your mind. See, when you read it, when you hear it on Sunday, you connect around it Wednesday or whenever in midweek, connect group break, and when you have it on your lips, soon it penetrates the mind. And it forms a basis from where you work from. It becomes your new foundation. Because it's on your lips, you are studying, it's near you always. Before you know it, it becomes your foundation. You see, this is not difficult at all, hey? And then, when it's in your mind like that, it brings renewal of the mind. And soon you will find yourself not thinking negatively anymore. You will just be talking the word of God. And that's what happens to the people that we look up to, and the pastors and the leaders that we look up to. And we're like, that guy's amazing. When his mouth opens up, Bible verses pours out. How's that possible? Because they're practicing this exact principle, right? And we took, how is it that that guy walks in so much anointing and so much revelation? Seems like he never breaks a sweat. Right? Have you seen those people that we look up to? I have a few people that I follow, and I look at what they get from God, and I'm excited when they share something, and it's exactly that. They are immersing themselves in the Word of God. Yeah, and I want to inspire you to do the same, because with that comes renewal of the mind. If you're struggling with your mind, if you're struggling with thoughts, stuff weighing you down, this is the only way.
Come on.
This is the only way.
Very good. Well,
amen.
Yes, amen.
All right. Come on. Number four, share the joy you have in your spirit.
Yes.
Share it. Amen. Because it's a sign of who we are as children of God. We are marked with that joy. And it's the first thing that the devil wants to undermine. So when things become difficult and the walls close in because God wants to maybe move you, it's your joy that goes first.
Yes. Oh, always.
The brand mark of who you are. It's that joy. That is how we are recognized as children of God. It's like, man, these people don't have a care in the world. And it's a word-reading, word-inspired Christian, that is. When they have the joy pouring out of them like that. When they, even though their circumstances are, maybe things are closing in, but they've got a smile on their face and they've got scripture pouring out of their mouth.
Yeah, come on.
That is what that mark of a Christian is that joy. So share that joy. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Tell people why you are excited and what you are happy about. And last, trust in the sovereignty of God. Trust that he's got it all, that he knows it all, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Beginning of this year, I found myself at the bottom of the ramp like death. And I looked up and I'm like, oh, I have to climb this ramp. But I trusted in the sovereignty of God.
Come on.
You've got this, Lord.
Yeah,
and I know that when I get to the top of that ramp, it's going to be all worth it.
Yes.
I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, wow, that wasn't difficult at all. Look at what I have attained because I was obedient.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to reflect on these things every day. Write them down. Listen again to this podcast. Listen to this sermon that's being recorded. There'll be snippets of it online, I'm sure, on our Facebook page. If you're not part, just join and link in. We share some things. Apostle Nicole is wonderful. She makes the things go moving in our social media, right? She posts all the things just to remind us and keep us reminded of what is happening in church. And keeps us reminded of what happened on a Sunday. Share it out and about. Is that all right?
Can you do that? Yes, amen.
Father God, I pray that these words this morning, this message, Lord, I pray that it be inspiring, Lord, in Jesus' name, to everybody here this morning. I pray that it sinks into their minds and into their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that we just be transformed by your word. I pray that we'll lean into your word even more and more and more.
Yes, amen.
And if we can't do it on our own, I pray that we'll have the courage and the boldness to link up with somebody that can take us along the way. Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.